Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 28. Very soon, we're all going to stand before the Lord, and hopefully we're going to hear him say, "Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. That's what we want to hear. Amen. John chapter 8, verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, "When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that has sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." You'll see this reaffirmed in a lot of places in the scripture where Jesus says, "I came to do the will of my Father. I came to do his will. I do always those things that please him." He spake these words, and as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Praise God. Living a life that pleases God. Sounds really simple, doesn't it? To live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Jesus lived his life out. Short as it was, he lived it out to please the Father. "I have come to do the will of the Father." And he did his will. Peter said that Jesus walked that way. And left us an example that we should follow in his steps, that we too should resign ourselves to the will of God, to pleasing him who has called us. We live out the days of our life to please God. That's really a challenging thing in a world such as we live in right now, because it seems like that most of us are living our life consumed with ourselves, our time, our money, the things that we do. We're pretty consumed with what's important to us. It's a pretty major shift when you consider the fact that God's called us to do his will, to live out the days of our life to please him, not to please ourselves, but to live our life to do his will. When Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist, the scripture says that the heavens opened up and the Holy Ghost descended like a dove, in the form of a dove, upon him, and a voice came from heaven, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." I am well pleased. He was doing what he was sent into the earth to do. He was living his life to please the Lord. Enoch was translated that he should not see death, the Bible says. He didn't die, was caught up out of here and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He pleased God. That was the characteristic of Jesus, that we're to follow in his steps. And great people, great men like Enoch, who walked with God, so are we to walk with God, and we're to live out the days of our life pleasing God. Amen. To please him that has called us. So we're not to live our life to please ourselves. We're not to live our lives to satisfy ourselves. It's only the will of the Father that matters. It's only doing his will that really, really will make a difference. If we are doing the will of God, we should seek not the approval or the applause of men, but instead to hear him say, "Well done." We should seek the approval of God. That we want to please him who has called us. That's our ultimate goal. Lord, to live out the days of our life to please you in all that we are doing. If you're pleasing God, it doesn't matter who you're displeasing. If God is, if you are pleasing the Lord, if you're living your life in honor of the Lord and obedience to God, it doesn't matter if there are those that are displeased with the way that you live. As long as you are pleasing God. Amen. That's really all that matters. It's all about Him. And that's what, that's the big turnaround that takes place in your life when you become a born-again Christian. And it's the evidence, that's it's the proof of the evidence that you truly are born again, is because you're no longer living for self. If you're really saved, you won't be living your life out for yourself. If you're really born again, you're going to be resigning your will and setting aside your purpose and your plan and your ideas, and you're going to say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Doing those things that matter to God. Colossians 1 and 16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. It's all about serving him and pleasing him and living your life to please the Lord. So ask yourself very honestly that question. Am I living out my days, my weeks? Am I consumed in my life, my time, my purpose? Everything is it consumed with how that I might please God? Or am I finding every other possible thing to fill up our time and our days and forsaking the most important thing, the central thing that should be in all of our lives as believers? And that is that we want to please the Lord. We want to do what He is asking us to do. That's the rule. That's the guide of our life, that we're doing what He's asked us to do. And of course, we know that we find that in the pages of God's Word. Amen. Selfishness is a terrible thing that does not fit in the work of the kingdom of God. A self-centered life is a miserable life. Living to please God is the life that brings joy. It brings fulfillment. It brings satisfaction. A life that is lived out to please God is a life that's really satisfying. Everything else is just an aside. It really doesn't have any importance to us. The real issue is, am I doing the will of God? Am I living a life that pleases God? Now, it may seem like that I'm pounding on something this morning that everybody knows about, but the reality is that we just get so sidetracked. We just go so many directions. We just fill up our life with so many things. And we need to reset and get back to what God has called us and purposed us to do, and that is to do the will of God, to do the will of the Father. Well, I know the struggles of it. All of us go through times in our life when we feel the pull and the tug of the world, and the desires and the pleasures of the world are pulling at us, and we all go through that, and we've all experienced that. But there's nothing like the joy of just laying it all down and just saying, okay, God, what you want, that's all that matters. What you want. I remember when I went to Bible school, it was a crisis for me in my life. It was a very difficult decision to make. I had other plans. I had other ideas about how I was going to fill up my life and what I was going to do and what my future looked like. I had a lot of other things, but I couldn't get away from this nagging reminder. But what about doing the will of God? What about listening to my voice and doing what I'm asking you to do? As difficult as it was, as challenging as it was, I didn't know anyone there. I just went there, not knowing not one person there. And many of the things that I dreaded about it, some of them were true and some of them were not true. I just knew when I got there, even with all the adversity and the difficulty of the situation, I just knew this is where God wants me to be. I was a high school senior or junior, maybe. I can't remember for sure, but I had visited there at the Bible school, and I can remember I was disinterested in what was going on. The services meant nothing to me. I really didn't want to be there. I remember walking out during a service, walking down the side of the building, and there's a little stream that runs down the side of that building. And as I walked down that sidewalk, I remember the voice of the Spirit speaking inside of me saying, "This is where I want you to be. This is where I want you to be." And me screaming inside saying, "No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it." But I remember the joy and the peace when I finally said, "Okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do it." Many times the crisis of our life is a crisis decision that you make that sets the course of your entire life. And it's so important that we listen to the voice of the Lord, that we're pleasing unto the Lord. We're living out our days pleasing to the Lord. You know, there's certain things, if you don't know what to do, you have the Word of God. You have the Bible. And as a newborn Christian, if you're a new Christian or if you've been saved a long time, you have the Word of God. You have the precepts and the principles of the Word of God, and you can get into God's Word and believe that God is going to direct your steps through the pages of His Word. Amen. When you get born again, there's sure you make a decision to follow Christ, but there's got to be much more than just a decision made. There has to be a spiritual transformation take place. A lot of people have made a decision to go to church, or a decision to pray, or a decision, "I want to be a Christian," but you need a turnaround. You need a spiritual turnaround, a transformation in your life, and that is supernatural. That is spiritual. That's God doing something in your heart. That's Him changing your mind, changing your heart, and setting you on a whole new course. Praise God for that. Amen. You become a spiritual person, and you are born again of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." When you're living after your own desires and your own will, you're not going to be able to please God. It's only going to be after you have said yes to Jesus, yes to the Lord, when you are willing to walk according to His plan. I remember Brother Burkett talking about the word yes and the word no, and how that the word yes resounds through the portals of heaven because you have said yes to God. Glory to God. And all of heaven is behind you. All of heaven is supporting you when you say yes to the Lord. "Yes, Lord, I'll do your will. Yes, Lord, I'll walk in your ways. Yes, Lord, I'll live according to the word of the Lord." Amen. You have His word. And God will direct your steps through the pages of His word. Amen. You know, some things are very clearly defined in Scripture. That means there's no debate about it. God just very clearly gives to us certain precepts. A precept is something that's just a definite purpose and plan of God. And God just says, this is the way. This is what I want you to do. And you'll see all through the Scripture, there are many precepts in God's Word. A precept is like, it's like a sign in a school zone that says 30 miles an hour. And you just go 31 miles an hour and drive through there and see what happens. And if you do get a ticket, it's going to be serious if you go through a school zone and you disregard the precept, the sign that says 35. And that's the way it is in God's Word. There's certain things in God's Word that you just... there are precepts of God's Word, and God says, "This is the way, do it. Obey me. Do what I'm telling you to do." Deuteronomy 6 and 5, here's one. "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." That's a commandment of God. That's a precept. Loving God with your whole heart, your mind, and your soul. Loving the Lord is a precept of God's Word. The commandments, the Ten Commandments, those are precepts of God's Word. You can't debate them. They're just truth. They're just the guide that God has given to us. You don't disregard the precepts of God's Word. Amen. He declared unto you, this is Deuteronomy 4 and 13, he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them on two tables of stone. You're not going to break the 10 commandments. They're going to break you. You are not going to be able to get away with going against. If you disregard the law of God, the precept of God's law, you are going to pay for it. You're going to pay the penalty for it. As a newborn Christian, we want to follow the precepts of God's word. The wonderful thing about being born again is that you have a heart to do what he wants you to do. When you're born again, you have a desire to please God. Before you were saved, not interested. Not interested. I don't care about that anymore. I'm not interested in living for God or following those commandments or loving God or none of those things. But once you are born again, your heart is changed. And you want to please God. You want to do his will with your life. Many other precepts in God's word where God is clearly defines what he wants you to do or not do. You are to be kind, Romans 12 and 10, be kindly, affection one to another. You're to be not slothful in business. You're to be fervent in spirit. You're to rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, be of the same mind toward one another. Certain precepts are just outlined for us in God's word. Ephesians 4 and 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. These are all precepts of God's word. Do it. Do my will. Do my will. But when there is not a precept that addresses every area of your life, then we are guided by principle. We're guided by principle. And the principle of God's word is not, it's not, you know, the sign that says 35 miles an hour. It's just an indicator that you need to, maybe a sign that says drive with caution, drive with care. No specific speed limit, just be careful, just be aware, be cautious. That's how God gives to us certain principles of his word that causes us to shape and to form the decisions of our life. And in Romans, there's several. I'm going to give you just a few of these important principles that guide your life. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. One principle is the principle of conformity. Conformity. That we are not to be conformed to this world. You're not to be shaped into the pattern of the world, pressed into the mold of this world. Don't be conformed to this world. You can't. It's not clearly defined what that is. It just simply means be aware, be cautious, that you are not allowing the world to have such an influence upon you that you're being shaped by the things of this world. The world is really hard to define because it expresses itself in so many different ways that if you say, oh, that's worldly, or no, that's worldly, or that's worldly. And it's you can't just lay out a set of rules and say, this is worldly and that's worldly. You have to have a heart to please God and a desire that says, I don't want to be conformed to the world. I want to be conformed to his image. I want to be like him and please him with my life. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Don't conform your life to the world. Don't feel like that it's important for you to identify with the ways of the world, the trends of the world, the fashions of the world, following after the things of this world. Don't allow yourself to move into that mode. As I said, it's really hard to define. John Wesley said, whatever cools my affection toward Christ is of this world. Anything that's going to sap your spiritual strength, anything that is going to divert you away from prayer or from worship or from the Word of God, whatever it is, and some things that might be of this world that would influence you but wouldn't influence me. That's why it's so important to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God and not allow yourself to be conformed to this world, to always be cautious. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another one, another principle is the principle of convictions. Convictions, Romans 14 and 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Amen. Every Christian, you need to develop some convictions. And that just simply means that you're not going to bend. You're not going to waver at all. This is what I believe. This is what God... You need to pray some convictions through in your life so that you're not easily distracted or easily diverted away from the ways of God and the plan of God for your life. A wonderful principle that will guide your life is to be a person of solid conviction. It just means you're thoroughly convinced this is right or this is wrong, and you will not allow yourself to veer from it at all. Christ has to be first in your life, and you're not going to allow anything to move him out of that position that he rightfully deserves of being number one in your life. Amen. Be a person of conviction. Amen. Just solid and strong. And you don't have to be mean-spirited about it or angry about it. You don't have to even try to push your convictions on somebody else. You just need to get a hold of them for yourself and know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what I believe. This is what I believe. I'm going to hold on to it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Another one is the word considerate or consideration. Consideration, Romans 14 and 13. Let us therefore judge one another any. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That what you are doing, it may not necessarily be a wrong or a sinful act. But if your brother, especially if it's a weaker brother or a new Christian, if they see you involved in that or living that kind of a way, are you going to cause them to stumble? You have a responsibility before God, not only to yourself. Remember, this Christian life is not about self. It's about God, and it's about everyone else around you. You are an influencer. And how you live, how you act, how you speak, your lifestyle, all of your decisions, all of it can have an effect upon others. You are to consider others. Amen. Be careful that what you are doing will not cause someone else to stumble and to fall. Another principle is consistency. Remaining consistent before the Lord. Romans 14 and 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Your life of consistency needs to be lived out in such a way that no one is damaged or confused by the lifestyle that you have followed, but you are consistent in your commitment to God and your commitment to the things of the Lord. I read about Gypsy Smith, famous evangelist who literally was a gypsy and born again. When he got saved, he took his violin to town and he sold it. Now, there's nothing sinful or wrong about playing a violin. But he took it to town and sold it because it was the instrument that he used every night to get drunk and to party and to dance and to live a wicked lifestyle. And he said, this thing is associated with that former life, and I'm just going to get rid of this thing. He sold it. And everybody knew that Gypsy Smith was changed. This is not the same man. He is transformed. And that instrument was not literally a sinful thing to play it. But for him, he wanted to make sure that his testimony was clear, that he had made a break with the old life, and that he was living a life to please God. Amen. Amen. I remember a brother, the church I grew up in, that he had been a gambler before he got saved. And he gambled primarily with dominoes and with playing cards. And so when he got saved, he got all the dominoes out of his house and all of the playing cards out of his house. You say, well, that sounds fanatical. Dominoes is just a numbers game. There's nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with a lot of things that we do, but he just said, I am making a break with my old life, and I want to make sure that my testimony is consistent. Amen. Now, this is really old-fashioned thinking, but it works. It works. If you'll make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll make a commitment to please him, to live a life, I want to please the Lord. I don't care what anybody thinks. I want to please God. I want to live out my life pleasing unto the Lord. Another principle is just edifying, our edification, living out your life in such a way as to build each other up, to build. If I do this thing, if I live this way, if I take this action, am I going to be lifting up my brother, or am I going to be tearing him down? Are my words, my actions, my standards, are they going to help to establish him in the truth of the gospel? Or is it going to just prove that I'm just living for myself and I'm doing what I want to do? Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Amen. Living in such a way as to bring strength and building up and edification to those in the body. And there are many, many other principles that I won't make mention of here, but one last one is just making sure that what you're doing is Christ-like. That little slogan that was popular a few years ago, what would Jesus do? I think we need to ask ourselves that question in a lot of things that we involve ourselves in. Would Jesus do this? Would Jesus be involved in this? Is this something that he would involve in? What would Jesus do? Is this really Christ-like? You say, well, what are all these principles about? What is all this about? Well, it's about making sound biblical decisions to make sure that you're living a life that pleases him. Amen. Pleases the Lord. And for you, it may look completely different than it does for me. But if you'll be honest before the Lord will direct your steps and he will help you to live a life that pleases God, and not just a life so self-consumed, but a life that's for him and for his glory and for his kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is that the life you want to live? Is that the way you want to live out the days of your life, pleasing unto the Lord? I pray that it is. Amen. Father, thank you for your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that you can speak to our hearts. You can direct our steps, Lord, through the pages of your word, through precept, through principle, Lord. You can guide us and direct us and lead us in a way that is pleasing in your sight. I pray today, Lord, for those in this service that are not Christians. Lord, they need to be born again of the Spirit. They need a transformation in their life. Lord, would you speak to their hearts today that they would not be able, Lord, to get away from the voice of the Holy Spirit here today. Lord, deal with them and draw them to a place of repentance. We ask in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for everyone here, every believer in this service today, Lord, that we've got sidetracked and we've allowed so many things to just come into our life and steal from us this position of real commitment and dedication to you and to your will for our life. Forgive us, Lord, because we have backslidden and we have forsaken those things, Lord, that are so important. And help us, Lord, to get right back to that place of real genuine commitment to you, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.